well done. Well done. You know what? No, this is. You know what? This is one of our people, and this is one of our graduates. You know what, Chris? We're so proud of you.
Thanks.
You know that you've completed the Irish Bible College. You know, and you know what? It's not easy. And those of you that have gone back to study in SALT and all of that, I commend you, because sometimes it's tough, isn't it?
It's so tough.
Yeah, but when God is in it, God is in it. Isn't that right? And you know what? Just on that, while I have Chris here, Chris was actually taken off his bike here the other week. And he went to the hospital and they said that you had a fractured arm. Is that right?
Yeah.
Then he went back and told them.
Well, before, that was on a Sunday morning. I was rushed in with a collapsed lung, a suspected collapsed lung, and they found a fractured arm on the x-ray. So they cast me up the whole lot and said, come back Wednesday and the consultant will see you. So in between Wednesday, there's Tuesday. And on Tuesday night, we have our link group in Drimna, if anyone wants to come along and see what God is doing there. But in the link group, there was a lady and she wanted prayer. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just spoke this to me. And I said, right, I'm going to go with this. And I said, is there anyone in the room here who believes that God, Jesus heals now, today? Put up your hand. Everyone in the room, put their hand up. I said, is there anyone here today that believes Jesus can use you? All the hands stood up. I said, right, everyone's hands on this lady. So we were praying, and there was words given, all sorts of things was happening. The Spirit was moving. And as we were saying the amen, I was about to sit back down. Now watch this. You can miss God sometimes. Right, I've got this cast on my arm, praying with a woman in faith for her healing, right? And I could miss it, and I'm going, amen, right, let's sit down and get back into what we're doing. All of a sudden, Trish Kerrig, who's one of the ladies in our group, great woman, she says, hang on a minute, wait now, God has not finished yet. I see the healing moving, and it's on you, and I'm just about to put myself back down, all comfortable and get ready. So I said, we have to pray with you, and I said, so be it, you know. Everyone laid hands on me. Great prayer. I'm there. And a word of scripture came through my mind because I was going, Lord, where am I at in this, you know, faith-wise and all that. And a word of scripture came from 2 Timothy 2:13, and it says, when we are faithless, he is still faithful because he cannot deny himself. So I said, yeah, Lord, I receive. So we're praying. Wednesday morning, next morning, my wife Linda came with me. We go in, see the consultant. He slaps up the thing on the screen. He goes, yeah, there's the fracture. And need you to go down and get another x-ray. Because down gets the x-ray. Off with the cast. The x-ray shows no fracture. Praise God. That is a God. That is Jesus. That is who you serve this morning. If you're a Christian here this morning and you know the Lord is the Jehovah Rapha. He is the God who heals you. He's a God of many things. That's just one thing. If you don't know the Lord this morning, I'd encourage you. Come and speak with someone here in eldership, leadership. Come and speak to someone that's a Christian here that you may know this Jesus. And he will have so much more for you just than that. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Well done, Scotty. Well done. Amen. Okay.
Amen. Thanks. Thanks, Louise. I love the lovely part. That's great. Don't be giggling now. Amen. God is good. Amen. All the time. Yeah. I want to just say before I start a thanks for everybody for all the kind words and kind texts and that. Everybody's encouragement. You know, becoming an elder of the church. It's an absolute. I know I said it today or the morning that we done it, but it is an absolute privilege for me to come on the eldership board and to lead, you know, be part of the leadership team in this church, because I really do believe, and it's this is in my heart, that the local church is the hope for this nation. I really believe, I can't get that out of my mind, I can't get that out of my heart. I really believe that, you know, churches like this is the hope for people. You know what I mean? It's a place where people can come and be healed and be set free, and to know a sense of direction in their lives, a sense of purpose in their lives. And it's an absolute fabulous thing that we can, you know, we can be part of that. We can be part of facilitating change and freedom in people's life. Amen? So it's a privilege for me to be part of the leadership team and be part of that work that God is doing. Okay? So, Acts 29 is a series that we are doing. Has anyone discovered that there's no Acts 29? Has anyone got that yet? Many weeks have been through now and people are still saying, where's that Acts 29? But there's no Acts 29. Acts 29, as what we're trying to express here through this teaching, is that, you know, Acts 29 is the moving on of the church. It's the continuation of what the church's call is. You know, it's the purpose of the church. God has put the church, you know, he's instituted the church. Jesus is the head of the church. And the church is part of the outpouring of the love of God in our time and in our generation. And this is the only show in town. It is the only show in town. The church is the most important thing that Ireland has, that Dublin has, that Liberty Community Church have. Everything. The church is the most central part of what Jesus Christ is doing in the world. And we need to get that. We need to get an understanding of that. That where we are this morning and what we are as a group and what we are as a people is the most important thing. There's nothing. There's no other show in town. And for us to be part of that as Christians is everything. It's absolutely everything. It's integral. There's no other way around it. You can't go under it. You can't go over it. You can't go sideways to it. The church is it. And Acts 29 is what we're doing is we're trying to get everybody on board with that. Not for saying that no one was on board with that, but just to put that emphasis there. That what we're doing as a church in Liberty Community Church over the next plan, over the next 5 years, our 5-year plan, our 10-year plan, we need to encourage everybody that you're on board with that. That you know what we're doing is what Christ wants us to do. And it's not the will of man. It's the will of Christ through men and through women. That the church would be outreached into this land. Because I tell you, you know, this land needs the church. Can anyone agree with that? Before I move on, this country needs the church. There's no other way around it. The amount of people that I meet nowadays, and particularly nowadays, because if we can say this kind of on a prophetic, you know, spin on it, that just we're in strange times. We really are. There's so much hopelessness out there. There's so much people have. It's like almost, you know, people have given up. And it used to be a time where, you know, it was only kind of, you know, the giving up was always put in a social strata. Are you with me? It was always the poor's down here, or the poor's in the flats, or the poor's in these housing states and all that kind of stuff. That's all done away with. It's coming from everywhere. There's a hopelessness coming from all aspects of society, where people have money, where they're up and out or down and out. That it's almost like that there's been a spiritual taking away, that people recognize that there's nothing that the world has to offer me. And the more I keep searching for it, the more I get depressed about it. And this is the time where God has instituted that the church steps in and says, hold on for a minute, we're here. We're here. Let us tell you what we have. Let us tell you what we do. Let us tell you about him. Let us put hope in your heart. Let us boom, 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 boom. And that's part of what we are. Amen? Are you with me on that? Are you with me on that? My first experience, guys, of church, and we're talking about Acts 29. My first experience of church was Acts 29. I was a young 25-year-old man, I suppose, young-ish, broken person, if I want to put words in that. I spent time with my sisters there 2 weeks ago, and they were up in the house and that, and we were just looking at each other and kind of talking and all that kind of stuff, and they were recognizing, I thought for the first time in a long time, they recognized just where I came from, and especially when they came into church that morning and they listened to Peter share about me. Thanks, Peter, for all your kind words. And my sister started to well up, and they started to recognize just where God had taken this guy from, because they lived it with me. They were part of my, I was their nemesis, if you like. I was there, the thorn in their side for many, many years. And it was in the middle of all this that a man came into my life that, and this is what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about the commission and the call, because that's what Acts 29 is about, the commission and the call. Write that down, the commission, or the call and the commission, in that order. And here was a man that came into my home, answering the call of God and understanding the commission that God had in his life. And he came into my home which he didn't have to do. And he was Jesus with bones on. If you try and understand that language. He was the church coming to me. And he sat with me. He talked with me. He loved me. I was giving him the run around for a while. But he came back again. And he hugged me. And he prayed for me. And he asked me to see my wounds. And I showed him my wounds. And all that kind of stuff. And he touched me. And he had an interest in me where nobody had an interest in me. The only people that had interest in me was people that were trying to do away with me. He brought me up to the doctors. And it was very funny. The doctors there, local doctors, this is before kind of the way things are broken out nowadays, but the doctors were very wary of people like me in them days. And a memory brought me into the doctors, and he sat down. Lawrence, his name is. And he sat down and says, Doctor, my name is Lawrence Hennessy. I'm working for this foundation, and I brought my client here, Eddie, with me. And the doctor was scratching his head. What's going on here? Who's this dude here? What, two men? What's going on? And he says, yeah, I'm about to bring Eddie here as my client and all. And Eddie's looking for help to come down off drugs. And as soon as he heard that, the doctor heard that, he got the two of us out, and we were on our heels out the door. And it was like, get him out of here. I don't deal with that. Boom, boom, boom. And it was like almost like he shooed us out of the doctor's office. And when I thought about it years later, I thought, man, I'm not saying all society was like that, but I'm just saying that's how the only person that had an interest in me was the Christian man. He sat me back in his car and he said, okay, let's think this up again. Let's see what I can do with you. Let's see how I can help you. I'm going to come up with another plan for you, Eddie. And he prayed for me again, and he came back again, and I was trying to rip him off, and he came back again. And I don't understand where I was at. And he says, listen, and he got me into Teen Challenge, amen? And the rest is history. But that was my first understanding of the church, that a man came in, and he says, I represent the church. I represent Jesus Christ, and they have sent me out to get you. And it was a beautiful picture, amen, of the love of God. And Jesus gave us them examples. You know, all through the Bible, the church went to the people. The church was the outreach. Jesus was the head, and the church followed him. The 12 followed him, amen. And it's all a type. You know, he was the head, they were following him, and he was going into these communities, touching the untouchable, loving the unlovable. Speaking to people that he wasn't supposed to speak, and breaking all the norms, breaking all the taboos, and breaking all the, you know, the religiosity that was in the time. But he kept going, and people kept following him. And Jesus gave us them examples all the time. And I want to look at two examples this morning, and bring out two teachings this morning about how, you know, about what it was that Jesus showed us about Acts 29. If you want to turn with me to Mark 5, turn with me to Mark 5. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And Mark 5 is about the church. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about us. It's a type of what we're about here. And Jesus came across the lake, and he got out of the boat, and the Bible says that in Mark 5 that Jesus came to the man. Are you with me? You stay with me now. Jesus came to the man. And he's seen that the man was demon-possessed. And you have a picture of the ministry of Jesus Christ coming and hitting the fella head-on. And meeting him where he was at. And this guy, he was bound up. Society didn't know what to do with him. They put him into tombs. They put chains on him every now and again. And he broke off the chains. That he was found naked, which in them days was an absolute shameful thing. He cut himself. He self-harmed himself. And another version of the Bible says that he howled and barked at the moon. He was like a dog, a wild dog. And Jesus came to meet this guy. And the type is like a type, you know, in general society where when we come to Jesus Christ and when he meets us, that this is the person in a lot of cases that he's meeting. That he's meeting a person that is at the end of himself or herself. He's meeting a person that has lost all reasoning in life, that has lost all hope in life. And in some extreme cases, that the world has tried to fix this person. You see, this man's society came and put chains on him. And sometimes the world tries to fix you, but it's doing more harm than fixing you. It's putting a chain on you. I see that all the time in the circle that I work in. That the doctors try to fix a man. 5 years later, it's a massive chain around the man. And so the world has tried to do something that it can't really do. And so every time that he found himself in the chains, in other words, every time that the world tried to quieten this guy down, he broke away from it because it didn't work for him. It didn't help him. It had no service to him. Until one day, a man got off a boat and walked towards him. And straight away, bang, boom. The Bible says that he healed him straight away and set him free from the infirmity that he was in. Now, this is the pic. This is Acts 20, this is Acts 29. When all the people came back, because he ran away when he seen this happening, but all the society in general came back and witnessed this. And this is what they said. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been, underline that, who had been demon-possessed with a legion of demons, sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. What a beautiful picture. What a beautiful picture of what Christ does for us. Sitting there, dressed. In other words, his shame was taken away. Jesus took his shame away. How did he get dressed? Who dressed him? I'm trying to understand the working of the church here. Dressed and in his right mind. And you know what? Society didn't know what to do with him. All they were worried about, if you're reading on in that, is the pigs. And again, it's another type that the only person, guys, and listen to me, and I don't mean to offend anybody here this morning, the only person that has genuine concern about us is him. He is the only person. Now, we have a hard time swallowing that. But in reality, in regards to my spiritual man, in regards to my emotional man, in regards to my eternity, in regards to my freedom and staying free, he is the only one that has concern that hits all their marks. And he is the only one that can reach you and touch you and keep you. And that's why it's seen here that society that tried to fix this guy, that put this guy in the tombs, and by the way, the tombs signified death. There was a man that was dead but alive. And they found him there and they didn't know what to do with him and they didn't care about him. And all they were worried about was the pigs. And I love this because, this man understood what Jesus Christ had done for him. He understood that Jesus Christ had set him free. He understood that he was now in his right mind. He was now clothed and his shame was taken away. And the man came to Jesus. And Jesus, getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. The picture here is given that the man recognized the power of Jesus Christ. And as Jesus Christ was walking away from him, he went after him. And this is the answering the call that I talked about. He said, it's like he had this almost moment of clarity. He says, "Hold on, this fella's walking away from me here. He's just sent me, I'm just remembering where I was an hour ago. And this guy is walking away from me. No way, I'm not going anywhere, come back. I must go with you. Because you're my hope. You're my everything." And it's like he's saying back, "Hold on. I've recognized what you've done because no one else could have done what you've done. They don't care about me. I need you. Come back. I want to go with you. I want to go with you." And so that, when Jesus Christ sets us free, I love it because Jesus didn't tell him anything. He just started walking away from him. He says, "Right, I'm out here." The man had to make the decision himself. We have to try and understand that as Christians that the man had to make the decision himself. Where is my hope? Where is my deliverance? Where is my sustenance? He's walking away from me. Come back. I must go with you. And Jesus turned around and says, which is very few places in the Bible where he done this, that he turned around and says, no, I don't want you to come with me. And here's the commission. Here's the commission. I want you to go and tell of what the Lord has done for you. That's the commission. The calling and the commission. Now I'm telling you, I've worked for a lot of companies over the years. I've done a lot of interviews over the years. And this has to be the worst interview ever. Because this man went into an interview stark naked. He went into an interview howling at the moon. He went in and he presented himself to Jesus Christ, a madman. Nuts. Nobody wanted to know him. This guy was covered in cuts, naked, barking at the moon. It must have been the worst interview ever. But it depends on who's doing the interviewing. And Jesus will commission us no matter what our past is. He doesn't care. Because he does the work. He set the man free. He done the delivering. And he has commissioned every one of us. I heard a preacher there a few months ago, a tremendous message, and he prophesied this guy. Now, I won't mention his name, because this guy has been on UCB Radio. He came up to visit us, and he prophesied, and this guy has a lot of clout behind him in regards to the spiritual side of things. And I tended to listen to him as a prophet. And he prophesied, in front of a room full of men that were, you know, broken down drug addicts and all that kind of stuff. And he stood up and he prophesied. He says, there's a new movement in Ireland. There's a new movement in Ireland. We're going away from the middle-class Christianity reaching out for Ireland. God is doing a new thing in Ireland. And he's taking these men and these people. And he references the Mark 5. He's taking them to take this country. He's taking the men that have recognized that Jesus Christ is my Savior. That I'm a sinner, that I'm wretched, that I wasn't born into this, but I'm saved into this. Amen. That I've been delivered. That I recognize my sin. I recognize my wretchedness. I recognize who I am, and I recognize it was Him that set me free. And this is the new movement that has taken this land. This is the new thing that God is doing. And I really believe that. I believe that because Liberty Community Church, whether you like it or not, is right smack bang in the middle of that. Amen. Amen. Liberty Community Church, guys, is right smack bang in the middle of that. That Jesus has taken all sorts out of this city. And he's saying, look, I've set you free, now go. I've called you, I've delivered you, now go. Let's look at another point. Let's look at John 11. I'm getting there, I know I am. What time are we? I'm getting there, that clock. Another famous story, and we're going to move into John. John 11, please. Again, we're talking about Acts 29. We're talking about the call and the commission. And John 11 speaks about the death of Lazarus. And Lazarus was a friend of Jesus Christ. So study this and read it when you go home. And all of this, I believe, is a type of what Jesus was instituting in the world. He was saying in front of everybody, this is what I'm going to leave behind. This is what I'm going to be the head of. And this is what I'm going to bless. And this is what I'm going to carry until I come back again. And this is the church in action. And Jesus Christ, he came to a tomb where his dead friend Lazarus lay. He could have came to Lazarus, but he held back. And he allowed Lazarus to die. So don't get mixed up with that. Don't try and read something else into that. He allowed him to die. And he came to the tomb, and the Bible says that when he looked at the graveyard, he wept. And I often wondered, who was he weeping for? Was he weeping because he was sad about Lazarus? Because he let Lazarus die. And then I read another thing, and I kind of asked God, you know why he wept? He wept because man's not supposed to die. He wept at the graveyard, because this was never the plan of God. The tombs were never God's plan. Man never was supposed to die. If you read it in Genesis, that we were supposed to live here forever in the glory of God, and sin came in, and sin brought death, and sin brought the tombs, and sin brought the death of his friend, and he wept. because it was never meant to happen. But he came again so he could be the second Adam, so that death doesn't reign in us anymore. You have to understand that as a Christian, death doesn't reign in me. Death has been done away, but I don't fear death. I used to fear death all the time. I was close to death a few times, and I played with death many times, and I feared death. But I don't fear death anymore. That was one of the first breakthroughs I got as a Christian. That I understood that death has no hold on me. I have no fear of death. I fear of how I'm going to die. Of course I do. I'm a normal man. But I know where I'm going. I have that hope in me. It's very hard to explain that. But I tell you one thing, I bless God every day of my life for that. That I know it's not over when I die. That I know that Jesus wept over the graves, but he dealt with the graves. And he comes up, and it's a beautiful picture, okay? He comes up and he says, he comes up to the gravestone and he says, first of all, this is what he's instituting, okay? He says to all the people around about him, he says, take the stone away. Now, try and look into that and try and see that. He didn't need anyone to take the stone away. He could take the stone away himself. He wanted to. Try and understand the heart of the miracle. What's better, to rise a man from the dead or roll the stone away? But he asked the people to roll the stone away. In other words, he was instituting the church. Your job is to get ready for the miracle. Your job is to do the heavy lifting. And it's just as much as our job as Liberty Community Church that we are preparing ourselves for the miracle. Whether that be purchasing a new building, whether that be rolling the stone away in Clondalkin, whether that be rolling the stone away in Bray, we're preparing for the miracle. What he has called us to do. And that's part of our role as Christians. The call and the commission is to roll the stone away and get ready for the miracle. Because they all questioned him. He said, roll the stone away. But sure, there's a corpse in there and he's thinking. Do you not think he knew that? And sometimes we can come onto that and we can say, what's my role in the church? And you might get inspired by a message, or you might get inspired by the link group, or you might get inspired, and you might go, I can't do that. I'm not. Oh, don't you know, if I went there, I couldn't. No, that wouldn't be. No, there's something smelly behind that, and it's not for me. And I won't touch that. But God is saying that the call of God and the commission of God is to roll the stone away. And then we hear the picture that Jesus come and he raised Lazarus from the dead. The miracle was done. The amazing thing was that he called Lazarus out. And he called him out as an individual. And Lazarus knew him and knew his name and knew who was calling him. And he walked out, raised from the dead. And Jesus Christ done the miracle. You have to understand that when we roll the stone away, he will do it. When we prepare ourselves for Bray, or when we prepare ourselves for Clondalkin, or when we prepare ourselves for here, that he will do it. That he will perform the miracle. That he will raise people from the dead. Hands up, I was raised from the dead. Anyone here raised from the dead? There's more of you, you know. There's more people out there that haven't heard it yet. And they need to be risen from the dead. Amen. They need to be. And so he's calling us to roll a stone away. He raised him from the dead. And here's another picture. That Lazarus came out of the grave. And Jesus Christ says, he thanked God the Father for showing everybody the miracle, for proving that I can have the power and I'm able to do it, for proving that I'm able to raise the men from the dead, just to show everybody around that I have the power. And he says to the people then, he commissioned them, he says, now go and take his grave clothes off. Now go, that's the commission. Now go and take his grave clothes off. He could have done that. He could have come out of the grave with the grave clothes off him. But you see, he's shown us a type of what we are to do as a church. That we are the ones that unravel these people. That take the picture of death off them. You see, it was a picture of death, you see, on Lazarus, that he had the grave clothes on him, but he wasn't dead. And Jesus said, hold on, there's something wrong here. Go take the clothes off, because that man's not dead anymore. Now you do it. And they had to go as Jews and trying, the studies of the Bible try and understand this. The Jews don't touch anything dead. But they went and touched them. In fact, they touched grave clothes, which was a 7 or 8 day penalty to be cleansed before they can go back into the temple for touching anything that touched something dead. But by they listened to the commission of Jesus Christ and went and unraveled this guy because he wasn't dead. And they forgot about religion. And they forgot about institutions. And they forgot about all the gobbledygook that goes on in life. And they came and they worked for Jesus Christ, unraveling this man because he wasn't dead. And we have to understand that as a church, the purpose in here is to unravel people because they're not dead. That we keep working. I was dead. I'm not dead anymore. So I help other people that aren't dead. And that's our role. That's our purpose. He's called us to do that. And we're called to be ministered to, but we're also called to be ministers. And that is our role in this church. Is that when people come in here and there are people in here, that my job is to just take some gravecloth off and maybe to speak life into them, or I'll share my testimony or meet them for coffee and say, listen, I love you. We love you. And that's just another piece of graveclothes wrapped off them that the world has put on them. But the problem with that is, guys, and this is a little bit of a warning, the call and commission, is that people can understand the miracle of God and refuse to let people take the graveclothes off them. And they come to church on a regular basis wrapped up. And they won't allow people to unravel them. I remember an old preacher, a great message there a few months ago about of the orphan spirit. And sometimes I'm listening to it all week about our inheritance and what God has given us and the gift that God has given us. But if you're wrapped up in grave clothes, you can't receive any of that. And if you're refusing to let people unravel you, well, then you're going to be sitting there and the stink of death is going to be off you, and you won't understand who Jesus Christ is, because you have to be unraveled. Wherever, what area of life you come into, there's a debt around you. And that debt has to be taken off you, bit by bit, piece by piece. I don't care if you come from an addiction background or an up and out background or a blessed background. I don't care. There's a signature of debt on us that has to be unraveled so we can understand who Jesus Christ is. So we can walk in freedom. And that's a process. And it's an understanding that I need to allow people to do that for me. And I no longer need to stay in that place. I no longer need to understand that about me, that I start to emerge. And I start to see myself a lot different. I start to picture myself in a different way than in the way that Jesus Christ sees me. Because Jesus says he's not dead. He's not dead. He's alive. Go and unravel that man. Go and unravel that man. Guys, that's the picture that we have here this morning. Acts 29 is us and what we're going to do and how we're going to move on and what we're going to do in this city. That God has called us. In other words, he set us free, called us out, and he's commissioned us. He has given us the ability to do far and beyond what we are able to do. If you would have told me when Lauren Tennessee was dealing with me in my house and I'm trying to save his money on him and I'm trying to rip him off and I'm trying to say, Lawrence, I'll go to the prayer meeting if you give me a tenner. You know, I'll go with you if you have any money on you because I can't go. I have to be stone going and all this. If he would have said to me, Eddie, you're going to be preaching in 15 years' time. You're going to be leading people on. I would have never have said yes to that, because I was wrapped up in the grave clothes. I couldn't see. I couldn't walk. I couldn't do anything. But it took men like Noel and women like Sharon and my wife and people like that to unravel me every now and again. They say, "Listen, Eddie, you get that off you." And we need each other. And we need the church. We need a pastor. We need a leadership team. We need direction. We're not a church that's directionless. We very much have direction. And we need to come underneath that. And we need to say, guys, what's my role? What do you want me to do? How can I get involved? What can I do? You know, I want to do something. I don't want to just be sitting there all the time. I'm not saying there is a time for sitting. But there's a time for moving. And there's a time for understanding that in 5 years' time, I'm nowhere like the person I was. Because God has instituted ministry in me that has bringing me completely away from that. And the upshot of that and the net result of that is I'm bringing people into the kingdom. I think that's a tremendous commission. I think that's a tremendous call. I think that's very exciting. And you know what? As Liberty Community Church and as a team here, we're going to facilitate that big time. We don't sit still. We're not allowed to sit still. We can't sit still and we won't sit still. We're going to continually stretch ourselves and move on. And you guys are part of that. And are in that and involved in that. And you can come along with us or not. And I hope you do come along with us. Because in the blessings of that, you will know something new in your life. Amen? So, I want to do an altar call and finish with that. That's it. Finish with that. I want to do an altar. I don't know where I'm at the time. But I want to do an altar call. I want to, if you're struggling with Acts 29, if you're saying to yourself, what's my role? What's my position? Where am I going with things? What you know, I'm a Christian here now a few years, and I need to move on. I need to stretch. I need to do something. And I want to understand that in my life. And if you want to hear the commission of God in your life, if you want to say, God, what are you calling me to do? Now, that's a very brave thing to say. Because he will. Because that's his purpose. The Bible says that he has works already set out for us. Not for certain people, us, everybody. There's a work set out for us, and that work is for his kingdom. And so, if you want to come up and we pray and we just, not that we're going to give you answers or anything like that, but let's stand. If the worship team want to come back and just strum some, let's stand. If you're a person that wants to know the commission of God in your life, if you want to know the result of the call of God in your life, or if you're a person that is saying, Eddie, I don't even know I'm at the call stage yet. I want to know the freedom of God. I want to know the blessings of God. I want to know, Eddie, that I'm truly out of that grave. But then there's a place for you up here as well. But come to God with an open heart and an open mind. And to be brave. And say, God, is there something for me to do? Is there something for me to do? What do you want me to do? What are you calling me to do? What's my gifts? Where's my strengths? You know, what do I need to do to get stronger? God, what's my purpose in this church? How can I serve Noel and the team? How can I offer myself and offer myself in a place where I'm going to be absolutely committed and responsible and reliable? Because if you have a person, and listen to this, guys, this is very, very important. And this is where we let ourselves down sometimes as Christians. If you really, really, really understand the call and the commission of God in your life, if you have a breakthrough time, listen to this, guys, please. And if you personally hear God calling you, well then you will commit to what the church asks you to do. It won't be a flippant, flimsy thing that you give up after 3 weeks. You will be fully committed to that because it's of God in your own heart. And it's not me giving a rousing altar call. It's something has happened in you. And you can steady and give your life into that. And give your commitment into that. And give your time into that. So that's why it's very important that you get that breakthrough. Because it's not really a help to the church that if you say, yeah, Eddie, I want to do this and last 3 weeks at it because someone annoyed you over a cup of coffee. That's not a call. That's you just being immature. So, but we do need people that are saying, look, rain or hail or sun or shine, I'm there for you. Why? Because Jesus has called me. Not you guys, you're facilitating the call. Jesus has called me. So Father, bless us, Lord. If the prayer team want to come up, praise you, Lord. If people with a prophetic edge in their life come up and pray for these people because you might have a word for them, please come. That's part of that team with Moira and all. If they want to come up, please. And just start praying, laying hands on these people. Father, I pray you bless us all, Father. Bless this church. Bless us as we go forward. Lord, I thank you for this church. I love this church. I love the people in this church, Lord God. I love what you're doing here. I love that you're calling us, Lord God. Despite us, I love it, Lord God, that you don't you don't care, Lord God, about our past, but you're in our future, Lord. I love it, Lord God, that you sent that man out, Lord God. An hour earlier, he was a madman. I love that type that you set down, Lord. That you, when you deliver us, you set us free, Lord. I love it, Lord God, that you give us the role of unraveling people. That you commission us to minister. I love that, Lord. I love it that you trust us, Lord. That you call us, Father. So bless us, Lord. Bless us in Jesus' name.